This one's from at BTTG161. Tariq, maybe you take this. He says,
I got my pumpkin spice from Starbucks. Oh, yeah, sip. I get my tea from Old Sweater. Yeah, yo, that's hip. I took my chick out to the orchard. Apple pick. The candy corn goes in the trash. Yeah, I hate it.
I love that jam. That's a good song.
I know you do, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good song.
This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes fisting. Pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. My name is David, and I am one of your hosts of the podcast, and you should check out all of the podcast episodes on Apple Podcasts. You could also check it on Spotify and everywhere else, wherever your heart desires. Also, check us out at ProWrestlingTees.com/marking out. Buy a t-shirt. For God's sake, buy a t-shirt. You know you want it. So go ahead. Go all in. Buy this shirt. Make sure that you give us a like on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Twitch, on Instagram, at MarkingOut11. Go check us out on YouTube. And also go check us out on Twitter, of course, at MarkingOut. You can follow me at David. PTDPT on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Brandon at BTTG161 as well. In addition to that, go follow Chris at Chris Swindog. But as usual, I am alongside here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing awesome as always. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know, we got the change of the guard. We got change of weather a little bit.
I didn't know where you were going with that. At first, I thought you were going to say weather, and then I was like, what is he going to say?
Yeah, no, it is totally a change of the weather out there, you know? We went from 70s, 80s, sometimes 90s, to now it's dropping down there at night.
Yeah, and it was nice when I took out the trash last night. It was a nice, cool breeze.
It is. You know, that's the one thing that I do enjoy about... Because at some points I do contemplate of moving south or somewhere else in general. But then it always goes back to the reminder of fall and winter. And how, you know, as much as a pain in the butt winter is because you got to clean off that snow, fall makes it all worth it. You got that nice cool breeze at night. It's pure sweatshirt weather. I love the fall.
You know, autumn's one of my four favorite seasons.
You know, and that's tough to say, because I know there's a lot of options out there, so I give you credit for really narrowing that down. So, good job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got pumpkin spice town.
Do not care about pumpkin spice.
I'm a fan of pumpkin spice. I also like, I want to try the apple crisp coffee or whatever they got at Dunkin' now. One of my patients suggested that I put some pumpkin, cinnamon in my coffee. And I've always wondered at Dunkin' Donuts, 7-Eleven, why they always had cinnamon. Like, it just didn't make sense to me at all. You know, maybe for a little bit of pumpkin spice or if you're having some tea, but it didn't make sense for me with coffee. And now I'm finding that I'm always putting that cinnamon in my coffee. It is good.
Yeah, those two flavors mesh well.
For sure. So what about you? What's up?
Not much. I did some more grilling this week, some fall grilling. Going to try to hit every season. I think the corn that I made was fantastic. I have to 100% get more corn and make it. And I grilled up some steaks.
Nice.
Inside the house, I made some tater tot casserole. You ever eat that before?
I have.
Really?
I have. I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I made a bechamel and then essentially a mornier, and which basically is just the addition of the cheese there. But I put corn and beans in it, and it was fantastic. To the point where I don't think I needed the ground beef added to it.
I wouldn't. Yeah, you probably don't eat it.
And not only this, I would take that Mornier sauce and use it with like a pulled chicken or something like that instead of tater tots. That's mm-hmm. how good that sauce was. It I just have to remember really... what I did because it was all from my head.
Ah, it does sound really good.
It was really good.
Tater tot casserole. That does sound really good. And what else?
That's really it. I've just been looking at some old pictures lately. I found one that I don't even think I don't know if I knew it existed of me and Big Show. But, like, it's from the side, so it's not, like, a picture that, like, the two of us are posed together. But it's, like, a candid shot. And in the photo, you could see me taking a picture of Big Show, and I have that picture. Like, I knew that one existed. I just didn't know this one existed.
That's really cool that you got to find that.
Yeah, and it was cool to find a bunch of the old photographs. I found some of us. I saw. I don't even know why we would have been in Manhattan together, but we were definitely.
We went into Manhattan. Was it?
It wasn't for WWF New York.
We've been to this. I feel like it wasn't just a one-time deal that we've been to New York City together.
Yeah, I mean, we must have. I also found pictures of us. Well, pictures. I found one picture of us at the Falls View, and that was like, oh, snap, that's cool.
Oh, man, send that over.
I have no idea where it is anymore. Should. I was going to take a picture of it, and then I just didn't.
And then you lost it after, like, 5 minutes after finding it after how many years?
Yeah. Like 40? I found pictures of when Step by Step was filming at Disney World. And I could legit swear I'm, like, seen in the background of the episode. So I'm still, that's still up in the air, but.
You always tell me that, you know?
It's very possible. I have pictures of the cast filming Step by Step, so.
Send that over. I want to see that, too.
I don't have that anymore, either.
It's funny you said that, because I was actually going through some of your pictures as well. Not to be stalkerific, but I was. I admit it. I was curious to see what pictures of me with you and wrestlers we had together. We have a good amount of pictures.
Specifically you and me and someone else?
With wrestlers in general.
And where were you looking at these pictures?
Pretty much your independent, like, wrestling event folders.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, okay, this is cool. Oh, sweet, there's that picture of me with this person.
Some of them aren't even up, but... You know, last week's episode was the anniversary of the Aru.
Wow.
We were coming home, driving home from an NYWC show and the birth of. I think that was Big O's debut show.
Yeah, the birth of Aru.
10 years ago that Big O debuted. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
They just they spoke about the clip on MC True Long Island Story this week. Our clip.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say the Marking Out clip, but it was 100% our clip.
yes, that is a fact.
But you do anything fun this week? No, right?
No, I worked.
Well, no. There was a bunch of professional wrestling this week, but before we move over to Extreme Rules, I wanted to offer up condolences to the family and friends of Ryan Sakota. It came out this week that he passed away on September 2nd. Last seen in WWE in 2003 as part of a team with Akio, who was Jimmy Wang Yang, as henchman for Tajiri. After WWE, he worked for Zero One, UPW, Wrestling Society X on MTV. And, for the short time that he was in WWE, he was able to get a Ruthless Aggression Jack specific Ringside Collectibles exclusive 3-pack with Akio and Funaki, which is called WWE East. I think it's a really good set. Kind of weird that Funaki's in there instead of Tajiri, but it, I guess, makes sense that they're doing an East themed pack.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it was a really cool set, and I think a rare figure set to own. I don't know how many out there or mock anymore. I have mine still in the box.
That's cool.
Signed by Funaki.
Wow.
But yeah, our condolences go out to the family and friends of Sakoda.
Yeah, definitely. It's always very sad.
Moving over to Extreme Rules. They had the kickoff show. Liv Morgan, this match was moved to the kickoff show. Liv Morgan picked up the victory over Carmella. Liv Morgan still not having a one-on-one pay-per-view main card match.
That's insane.
I believe. Because WrestleMania was the... I think WrestleMania was her first one that was her first singles match on the card.
I feel like the wrestlers like Liv Morgan, Carmella, there's so many female wrestlers on WWE's roster that's getting swept underneath the carpet and just forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to see Liv Morgan at the current state. You're never going to see her towards the main event or in a main event. Carmella, same thing. Like, maybe in the past you would have with Carmella, but not anymore. Now the focus is on Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, but all these other women that are doing a fantastic job. It stinks.
Yeah, outside of this match,
Vega.
Though, what?
Vega too.
Yeah, outside of this match, the commentary, both the regular commentary and Spanish commentary, were playing at the same exact time throughout this match. But the match itself, I thought was decent. Liv Morgan had Carmella pop her head off the commentary table. I don't know what to call the move that she does. She normally does it into the corner. So I thought it was cool to see her hit it off the commentary table, and then she tossed her back in the ring.
Yeah, it's weird she doesn't have a name for that.
She might, I just don't know.
She has
to. And it's funny because when WWE, I think, posts about her finisher, she went into the ring, she hit Oblivion. It's called Oblivion. I don't believe when they post about it, they call it Oblivion.
I feel like she's corrected them on her Twitter account, too.
She might have, but I don't know how this match wasn't an extreme makeover match. The way they built this up, it made no sense.
Yeah.
But on the kickoff show, we saw New Day get jumped by Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Amos, which led to an on-the-spot edition of a match, which opened up the card. New Day picking up the victory over AJ Styles, Amos, and Bobby Lashley. For this match, they switched to French commentary over the English commentary. But
like, why is that really necessary to fit in this match and kick off Liv Morgan and Carmella?
Honestly, they had two other women matches, but again, I don't know why they would have kicked that match, but other than Big E being the WWE champion.
Yeah. I don't think we needed this match, though.
I thought it was really good, though. And I really liked that ending. I really liked it with AJ Styles tagging himself in while he went up for that phenomenal forearm. And then Lashley tagged himself in. And, I mean, I guess you could call it accidentally, although I don't know how you would accidentally do that. But he speared AJ Styles. AJ took it like a champ. And then that big ending, I thought was great.
Yeah, we got to see the New Day team up again.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, I don't think it was necessary to have, but at least the WWE champion was featured on the show, and it was with New Day.
He could have done a quick 2-second backstage thing with Lashley. Next up, you had the Usos pick up the victory over Street Profits to retain the tag team championships.
I like them working on Montez Ford's ribs during this.
Yeah, they really held true to going in on those ribs, and I'm happy that the Usos retained, you know? I think that everything that the Usos have with Roman Reigns right now is important to protect. I don't think that they should be losing the Street Profits right now.
Right, but I think it was a good match, and I'm happy that I got to see them at Madison Square Garden, because I think they have incredible chemistry together.
They do. Do you think that they would ever separate, and if so, who do you
think? I don't even want to talk about that. By the time this airs, they could have.
I mean, who is the standout, though? They separate. Who's the standout?
Everyone says it's Montez Ford. Everyone says it's Montez Ford. Angelo Dawkins takes the Tucker route and gets released. I don't want to see that happen because I think Dawkins is fantastic as well.
I'm going to go with Montez Ford as well. Dawkins, I would have to see more from. I mean, hey, we've been wrong before. I believe we said that.
First of all, not saying Dawkins sucks. I'm saying he's fantastic.
Well, with the Shield, I'm pretty positive if you listen back to when they were a thing, we were saying who's going to excel out of this Shield. And we pretty much said Moxley and Rollins, while Reigns isn't going to really do all that much because he can't cut a promo.
That definitely changed.
Look at Roman Reigns now.
Rollins almost, back then wasn't really the promo type, but he definitely changed that as well.
Yeah, but I'm almost certain that was our prediction on the Shield. And look at, so who knows? Maybe Dawkins will be the standout.
But, well, I mean, I don't want to say standout.
Of course.
It's 100%. I would rather see some sort of situation like the Shield where all three of them are a standout.
That's true. Well, talking about all three being in a ring, Charlotte Flair picked up the victory over Alexa Bliss. Lily, sitting at ringside for the entire match, she didn't say a word, didn't have an involvement by her own little persuasion. Unfortunately, Charlotte Flair took it upon herself to totally shred apart Lily. I mean, Lily didn't do anything. She's just sitting there being a doll. You know?
Yeah, and Alexa Bliss attacked Charlotte. Charlotte came out on top of that, but Alexa Bliss stood up on that commentary table yelling after Charlotte left and cried over Lily. She cradled her. I thought something bigger was going to happen, but I guess it's not really necessary.
Yeah, I expected something bigger as well, but...
I guess, and then, of course, I mean... She was supposed to be, I guess, foaming from the mouth, but then the gimmick in her mouth didn't work, and everyone's like, oh, I can see it right there. It's right there in her mouth. And it's like, shut up.
That's what I thought, too. I was just like, she has something white in her mouth, and I'm like, I'm confused, but okay.
I like this match, though. I liked Charlotte. I'll give her props. She used a reverse gory special.
That was a cool spot.
I like that she used that. And I thought it was a really nice code red from Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a really good job at making it look like Alexa Bliss could win the match.
Yeah, I agree with you.
After that, next we saw Damian Priest pick up the victory over Sheamus and Jeff Hardy to retain the U.S. Championship.
I love this match the most on the card, I think.
I think, who did you want to see win this?
I wanted to see Priest win.
So it seemed like fans really wanted Jeff Hardy to win this, but did not seem disappointed when Damian Priest retained. And I think that's really good.
I mean, there was a point where him and Jeff Hardy were exchanging punches, and you had that boo, yeah, chant with the boo being for Priest and the crowd being behind Jeff Hardy.
I liked when Sheamus mocked Jeff Hardy before doing the diving knee drop from the middle rope. Mm-hmm. It had me, like, the next day, I was like, I can never do the Jeff Hardy dance taunt, but...
How many times have you practiced?
You always try it, you know?
I've never tried it. I feel like you have. I feel like I've seen you do it.
No, I don't think you've ever seen me do that.
I don't know.
But it was cool to see Jeff Hardy pay respect to Damian Priest afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. Why is Jeff Hardy doing that? I get it. Why not? His face... Because he
Damian
just lost
Priest it. Said how much of a big deal it was for him to be in the ring with Jeff Hardy.
I guess.
And,
but Jeff,
and
Hardy,
Jeff Hardy said he sees a bit of himself in Damian Priest.
I don't know. Jeff Hardy just lost
those
a match.
Those
and he's
little passing of the torch gimmicks.
Yeah, I guess. Well, next up you had Bianca Belair pick up the victory over Becky Lynch by disqualification.
Before we talk about the DQ.
Okay.
I want to just mention the fact that
I appreciate you being like, Dave, don't go to the finish.
When Becky Lynch was outside of the ring and Michael Cole started saying something and she yelled at him for putting words in her mouth, I thought that was fantastic. And Becky Lynch has not lost a step at all.
Not at all. You know, Becky is... unbelievable. She's a great athlete. I think that this is a great feud that they have going on too.
The one complaint I have about this match is the fact that we saw the leg on the rope spot to break the pin. Because we literally saw that in the match with Charlotte. That's my one complaint. And then, of course, I would have rather had a normal finish, but Sasha Banks ran down, attacked Bianca Belair. And when Bianca Belair was going for the kiss of death, that's when Sasha attacked.
Yeah.
And then she attacked Becky Lynch.
And I am not happy with this Sasha Banks stuff, too.
Well, I mean, we had to know she was coming back soon, and we had to know she was going to be inserted in this feud. She was part of the feud. It stemmed from her not being at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but we have no explanation why her... she was supposed to have the match. Why is her match canceled?
Maybe she was filming Star Wars.
You know, I hope that they give an explanation as to where she was, what's going on, because otherwise, why the heck was she not in her match on SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Why is she randomly coming back right now? I want an explanation.
Prior to that, I believe the last time we saw her was that contract signing where she was locking the bank statement in on Bianca Belair on that table.
I want explanations, Brandon.
Well, I mean, by the time this airs, maybe there are explanations. There's probably likely to be, and I'll talk about that. Turn SmackDown.
Yeah.
After that, we saw the main event. Roman Reigns picked up the victory over the Demon, Finn Balor, to retain the Universal Championship. Michael Cole on commentary said that the Demon King has never lost, but factually inaccurate. He lost to Samoa Joe at NXT TakeOver The End. So this was now the Demon's second loss. But I like this match. I like the four giant kendo stick thing that he had.
Yeah, that was a cool spot.
Yeah, I like that Roman Reigns put a mask on to fight in the crowd.
I approve of that spot, too. I don't understand why people are giving it such crud with him making a decision to protect himself and protect the fans as well, but mostly protect himself. I mean, it's like everybody forgets what this man has been through, and God forbid he goes out of his way to protect himself.
Yeah, and I saw people saying, oh, this is a good way to get heel heat, and it's like, it's not heel heat.
No, it's logical to wear your mask. So if you don't want to wear your mask, guess what? Wear your mask.
Yeah, but Roman Reigns hit Finn Balor with a spear. We saw Balor land a low blow kick to kick out at the very last second. That's something that Roman Reigns did to Finn Balor a few weeks ago on SmackDown. Finn Balor hit that coup de grace. And just as you thought he would win, the Usos pull him out of the ring right before he could win. He's able to fight them off. He puts Jay through the commentary table. Roman Reigns spears him through the barricade, which is like a crazy spot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the whole thing exploded rather than
just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, the big spot, you had Finn Balor pretty much down and out, and then the lights go red. You hear that heartbeat, and then he just pumps pretty much right off the ground, and then he's like
start beating the heck out of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the first time we've seen something like that, I believe.
Yeah, that's the first time.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, it looks a little goofy, but I was marking out during that segment.
I feel like looking goofy kind of gets thrown out the window when you have a guy that's wearing underwear with paint all over his body. I think that goofy gets thrown out the window.
So he went up for another coup de grace, and the rope broke. Roman Reigns hits a spear, picks up that victory. Demon King is grabbing his knee. Something hurts. I'm not really a fan of the ending there, but I'm a fan that WWE got everybody. For me, that's one of the biggest HLS moments, hook, line, and sinker moments that we have ever seen in WWE, in recent history at least.
Now,
where everyone thought Balor was about to actually become the Universal Champion. And then the rope breaks. And yeah. Again, we don't know how this is going to be explained as of this second of recording, but it seemed like Roman Reigns acknowledged a higher power after he won.
It was definitely weird. It was definitely weird. I was not a fan of it at all. I thought that it was I feel like as the demon, this is not the way to go about a loss. If you're going to defeat the demon, please, like, just legit have it clean. We don't need to tease. He's already lost to Samoa Joe. So, stupid.
Well, that is the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Moving over to Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Nitro.
It opens up with Big E versus Bobby Lashley going to a no contest. This match stemmed from the pay-per-view. We saw Big E spear Bobby Lashley through the ropes like he normally does. And Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander showed up behind him. New Day attacked them. It goes into the ring and Adam Pearce came out, said that this match is going to take place. And it'll be the main event inside of a steel cage.
Now, this is just stupid once again. Why are we putting them together out of nowhere? It's like...
What do you mean out of nowhere? What's out of nowhere? Oh, you mean Ricochet, Cedric and Shelton?
Yeah.
You gotta wait for them to explain it.
I'm impatient right now. I do not want to wait. I want my answers now, just like before.
Dawson's Creek?
Yes, I want answers.
Well, I thought it was a decent segment. I definitely popped it. Hurt Business being back in biz.
Yeah.
After that, we saw Angel Garza pick up the victory over Eric from the Viking Raiders. I don't like normally cheering against the Viking Raiders, but I'm a big fan of Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, and I was hoping that they would that Garza would get the victory there. So, and Humberto Carrillo distracted Eric at one point, which led to the end of the match. So I'm fine with Eric losing here. I don't really like the Viking Raiders to be losing, but it was a distraction finish, so
where,
I can forgive it.
Garza, Brandon,
and Humberto Carrillo, there seems like they might be in for a huge push, so they definitely need a victory.
No, Brandon, stop. Don't give them any leeway.
No, they need victories, 100%. I want
them to be
pushed.
Why are you
going to
let WWE get off with that, though?
What do you mean?
They can't, having a victory over War Machine, War Raiders, it's not going, first off, these guys haven't won a match since 2020. Why is it now?
That's not accurate.
Okay, it's accurate enough.
That's,
I mean, the last time they got a victory
was with,
that's
not accurate enough at all.
Last time they got a victory was when the AJ Styles thing was going on. I mean, these guys have been losing and losing and losing like losers. Why are you picking up a video?
Their last victory was a month ago.
Okay, that's far enough. I mean, and what about the one before that?
The week before.
Okay. And the one before that?
2 weeks before.
Okay. So they have like 4 victories on the year. But still, the war...
No, they don't.
I don't know.
They went against the Hurt Business and won a few matches.
And now the Hurt Business are back together. It makes no sense. No.
Well,
no bueno.
After that, we saw Reggie pick up the victory over Ricochet via disqualification. R-Truth, Drake Maverick, and Drew Gulak were sitting ringside, which it came into the end factor. But Ricochet and Reggie basically went move for move. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think that Reggie and Ricochet, they just really mesh well together in that ring.
Because they're both able to do the same things, basically.
Yeah.
But R-Truth and Drew Gulak, at the order of Drake Maverick, attacked Reggie. Then they attacked Ricochet. And Drake Maverick had a walkie-talkie. He radioed for Akira Tozawa to run down. Reggie escaped, and then we cut to commercial break, and Akira Tozawa comes back demanding a match. He's pissed. He wants a match with R-Truth. He wants a match with Drew Gulak, Drake Maverick. It doesn't matter who. And Keith Lee answers the call.
Not just any Keith Lee, though.
Keith Bearcat Lee.
The Bearcat himself.
A lot of people pissed off. They don't know Bearcat's an animal. Some people think that WWE combined the word bear and cat to form a word Bearcat.
That's interesting. I bet they also don't remember the wrestler.
I believe there were multiple Bearcats in wrestling history. One's in the Hall of Fame. Bearcat, yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a nickname, guys. Get over it.
And his attire matches. Kind of reminds me of Kane from 2002 when he returned at the night after SummerSlam at the Garden with the straps that go across. Instead of that, it would be the claw marks, which people also think those are bear scratch claws or something. They're bear cat claws, brother.
Yeah, and they're real.
Bear cat claws are super sharp.
Yeah, they're just as sharp as man bear pig.
I don't know.
Don't be confused with.
I don't know if I've ever encountered a bear cat at like a zoo or anything. I don't know if I've ever seen one in person.
Have you ever encountered a man bear pig?
No. I believe bear cats are native to Asia, if I'm not mistaken.
I forgot where man bear pig is from.
Native to South and Southeast Asia.
Man bear pig?
Bear cats.
Oh.
But they have these giant claws.
Well, talking about giant claws.
But yeah.
Sheamus.
Keith Lee destroyed Akira Tozawa.
Oh yeah, he did have a match too.
Yeah.
You're so caught up on the nickname.
I don't mind the nickname.
No, I'm fine with it.
He destroyed Akira Tozawa and gave an interview after on WWE.com. Kind of meaner. So maybe this gets him to the main event.
Hey, I hope so.
After this, Damian Priest picked up the victory over Sheamus in a no DQ match to retain the U.S. Championship. I think this Monday Night Raw was more extreme than Extreme Rules was. I don't even think, did we mention that main event was in Extreme Rules at Extreme Rules? That was the only sort of stipulationed match.
Yeah, no, we did not mention that. Yeah, I remember when Extreme Rules had Extreme Rules for every match.
It wasn't Extreme Rules for every match. They had stipulations and
people. Yeah, every match was a stipulation though.
And not every match was a stipulation.
No?
No, but most of them were. Even last year, there might have been three stipulated matches or something like that.
They got to have more of them. Yeah. More.
Literally, one of my favorite Extreme Rules matches was the WLC on the kickoff show.
That is one of the most underrated matches of all time. Dare I say that? Challenge me.
I think so, yeah. Especially, I honestly think that if they marketed the mini division differently in WWE, that that El Torito would have been somebody that could go against a bigger guy.
I hate that they made that match into a joke after it was put on. You know, I feel like it just didn't get the respect that it deserved.
Yeah, but Priest retained. I like Sheamus hit that white noise off the apron through the table. He also tried to power slam him through another table later on, but Priest reversed it, threw Sheamus into it and through it, and then hit the Reckoning to pick up that victory.
Yeah.
I mentioned last week how Sheamus' nose was bleeding. I believe he had to go back in for surgery. Broke his nose twice.
Yeah, he's just, prone to that. Some people are prone. But next up, you had Jinder, Veer, and Shanky pick up the victory over Jeff Hardy, Mansoor, and Ali. Veer, the $1 million arm.
Where have we heard that before?
Not too sure. I remember somebody keep on bringing it up, saying that they should be using that.
Mansoor was the one that got them this match, which Mustafa Ali was pissed off about. He was like, I don't want to team with Jeff Hardy. And then Jeff showed up right behind him. So I thought that was a funny segment. Some people were like, did not like that segment. They trashed it. I was like, I thought it was a normal backstage interaction. But Mansoor was marking out the team with Jeff Hardy. He was doing Jeff Hardy's entrance, which, again, how many people have done that before?
Yeah.
So I think it's cool, but I liked this match for what it was. Shanky went to chokeslam Jeff Hardy outside the ring, but Mansoor saved him. Meanwhile, in the ring, Veer hit that million-dollar arm.
I was a fan of that move.
I was so happy that took place because I was like, it should, he has, there's like no denying, there's history. He had a Disney movie made about him.
I actually want to see at least the trailer of it.
You either have a knockout punch called the $1 million arm or whatever, but or a lariat, and it turned out to be a lariat.
And I have to say, so I don't know if you're definitely not going to agree with me. Maybe you'll see it. So whenever I see Veer wrestling, especially recently, I cannot stop but imagine that if that guy from What We Do in the Shadows was a wrestler, it would be him. You know who I'm talking about, right? The guy with the long hair? That's him.
I think he looks a lot more like Seth Rollins.
No. This is the guy from What We Do, whatever that show is.
Yes, What We Do in Shadows. The guy.
What We Do in Shadows. It is definitely, if What We Do in Shadows guy was a wrestler, it would be Veer.
Not at all. Maybe you're not looking
Veer's
at
it. Veer's a vampire.
What? The guy that Veer's plays Nandor vampire. You're talking about.
Yes.
That dude looks like Seth Rollins, kind of.
Who and who looks like, I mean.
Dude, Google a picture of Nandor. It looks just like Seth Rollins. What are you talking about? He does not look like Veer. There's no way at all that you're going to get me to agree that they look like Veer.
Okay. I'm sorry. That is Veer. Nandor is Veer. Veer is Nandor.
No, and the other guy looks like Jimmy King.
That is Jimmy King.
That's not Jimmy King. The guy that plays Laszlo.
The first few times I saw it, I swear I thought it was Jimmy King.
No, you didn't.
I swear, yes. I thought that it was Jimmy King. Well, I really did.
Dude, this picture looks just like Seth Rollins.
No, it is... No.
I disagree.
I'm gonna have to put together a collage for you because this is Veer.
No. But the next match, we saw Karrion Kross pick up the victory over Jackson Ryker. This match was exactly what you would have expected.
Jackson Ryker. What are we going to do with you on that roster? What are we going to do? Doing nothing.
Yeah, and I don't even know what, like, at this point, it's just like enhancing the other person.
Where does he fit in right now?
We haven't seen Elias in weeks. He was dead and buried, and that was it. The old Elias can't come to wrestling anymore. Where is he?
I know. Makes no sense.
But after that, we saw...
Wait, are you telling me that this picture... Is Veer?
What?
This pitcher. This baseball pitcher is
yes.
Veer?
Yes. I don't know if you're looking at pictures of him from the movie or not. That is not him if it's a clip from the movie. But
I don't
he
know. It's...
looks a lot different now. He's a lot older. He's heavier.
Yeah, this guy is like thin.
But Veer was on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it was based off of this show from India.
I kind of want to go on eBay to see if I can find a card.
I'm not sure. You might. And I thought it was a really good movie. For some reason, it's not on Disney Plus. I think it might be on Showtime, if you have the Showtime app.
Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, do you have Showtime, or?
I think we got rid of it.
Well, I think it might still be on Showtime if you're able to.
Yeah.
Stars John Hamm. But the next match saw AJ Styles pick up the victory over Riddle. I thought this was another good match between the two of them. AJ Styles hit a really nice burning hammer before that Styles clash to pick up that victory. And then we saw Omos choke slam Matt Riddle afterwards. I don't know. Randy Orton was not there this week. Maybe a little vacay. I don't know.
Any possible
thoughts? No?
Not too many. Not too many. Not too many to share.
Well, after that, we saw Shayna Baszler asked about Nia Jax, and she was looking all mean and didn't answer. She walked away. And then we go into what was supposed to be an open challenge, but Doudrop, I guess, asked for the match earlier in the night, which commentary is like, oh, Charlotte will have no time to prepare, or she doesn't know who she'll be facing. And it's like, she literally had this. Was she not watching Raw? Maybe not. I have no idea. But Charlotte picks up the victory over Doudrop to retain the Raw Women's Championship. Eva Marie came out and distracted Doudrop. Charlotte took advantage of that, picked up that victory. And then Eva Marie is celebrating. She's got her arms up as if like all spotlight is on her, all red, everything. Evolution, and Charlotte's not having it. She attacked Eva Marie for taking her spotlight. And then Eva cuts a promo saying that she would have beaten Charlotte Flair and that she could beat anyone in that locker room. And Shayna Baszler came out, choked her out, and then did the same thing that she did to Nia Jax last week with her arm or her hand.
And Eva Marie really selling this.
So now I guess Eva Marie's going to be off television for a bit.
And nobody wants that. That's just awful.
After that, Bill Goldberg showing up on Monday Night Raw via video, I guess. Just speaking to Bobby Lashley, saying he wants to kill him. I assume the match is going to be taking place in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think it's... Didn't they already announce it?
I don't think so.
For Saudi Arabia?
I don't think that they announced this match for Saudi Arabia. I know Crown Jewel had Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar announced for it. But
I feel like I saw this as a rumor somewhere.
I mean, it seems like it's likely that that's going to be at Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they'd have this on this episode, given the main event. Why not do it next week? And also, what the hell was that picture behind Goldberg?
Yeah, that caught my eye too.
That's like all confusing. We could all focus on. It was like a big trending topic on the internet. People were like, what is this? Why is this? I don't know. I guess it must be Gage or something in Goldberg's arm or whatever. That was the weirdest picture I've ever seen. No offense, Goldberg.
I'm talking.
But after that, we saw Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley interviewed. Basically, Nikki trying to get matching outfits with Rhea Ripley. So... well.
Yeah.
We shall see. I can't prejudge.
No, we are not judges.
Main event saw Big E pick up the victory over Bobby Lashley in a steel cage match to retain the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley attacked Big E before entering the cage. Hurt Business, when the match was actually going on, also got involved to prevent Big E from climbing out. New Day coming out to return the favor. Kofi doing that trust fall dive off the cage. Which, that has to take a lot of trust on to, like, not even look where you're going or whatever, and then just, boom, you're on the Hurt Business. But I thought this was another really good match.
I feel like it's pure trust.
And Big E hit that big ending off the middle rope from the cage to pick up that victory, and I thought it was good. And then in New Japan-esque fashion, maybe, Drew McIntyre shows up, comes out, points his sword at Big E, and that probably sets up a match for Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel.
Yeah, it definitely sets it up, I guess. I mean, is this really something that we're looking forward to, though?
I think it's another match just to put over Big E.
Yeah, true. He definitely needs to be put over a good amount.
So
that makes sense.
But that's Monday Night Raw. Moving over to NXT, which opens up with Electra Lopez picking up the victory over B-Fab in a no disqualification match. We saw Raul Mendoza somewhat early on try to use a garbage can towards Top Dollar, who shut that down. Smacked it, broke it in half almost. Crushed it, I should say. I don't know if people actually break a garbage can like that in half, but they brawled, the referees got involved, and made them all leave the ringside area. This match, though, I think you have to have, I think, a ton of trust in these two to give them a no DQ match. I think this was their second match, technically their second match on NXT TV. For B-Fab, it was.
And the chair spots that they were doing were really impressive, too.
The kendo stick. The freaking kendo stick bent over her back.
Nothing for nothing. I enjoyed this match more than the main event itself. This match was very enjoyable.
And I liked B-Fab used the table leg to smash Elektra's leg on. I feel like we don't see that.
No, not enough people use those legs.
Very innovative. And we saw her, Elektra, hit that running crossbody through the chair and then hit the blue thunder bomb to finish the match.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest match, but it wasn't bad.
No. And that crossbody into the chair looked nasty.
Yeah.
You know, I would have definitely taken this over the main event.
Well, after that, we saw Joe Gacy come out, do another promo. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Gacy. And he was basically saying that only people who are enlightened get him, and he can solve conflicts with discussion rather than inside the ring, or fighting, I should say. I guess I'm not enlightened.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on this gimmick.
So, whatever. But after that, Zion Quinn picked up the victory over Oney Lorcan. This was literally a match they did on 205 Live last week. Same outcome. Good showcase for Quinn, but for me, not believable for Oney Lorcan to lose like this.
I agree. I'm surprised that Oney Lorcan got the loss on this one, but Quinn, I was very impressed with.
It was the same thing from 205 Live.
I mean, Quinn, I believe this may have been the first time that I've seen Quinn in a match.
I don't think that's accurate.
When else would I have?
Another time?
I don't think so. I think this is the first. I mean, this is the first time I've seen him and a few others on this card.
No.
Yeah.
No, Zion Quinn has definitely been on TV before.
Grayson Waller?
What?
Grayson Waller? I've never heard of him.
Also, probably have seen him also.
I don't know.
I think you have. Let's see. Well, technically he was on, it wasn't really as Zion Quinn, but you would have seen him on some shows.
Well, next up, you had MSK come out to do a little in-ring interview segment, but it didn't last long until and more tag teams.
Grizzled Young Veterans, followed by Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Brooks Jensen, I don't think you know, is Bull Buchanan's son.
Oh.
Led to a brawl. Didn't last long. Brooks Jensen's father is a former WWE Tag Team Champion.
Yeah.
Maybe him and Josh Briggs will get a title shot.
Potentially.
After this, we saw Io Shirai and Zoe Stark pick up the victory over Toxic Attraction to retain the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Boo.
I don't know. I'm iffy on that.
Io and Zoe don't do anything for me as a tag team.
Period. This match, though, I thought was very different from what we've seen in the past from them. Again, we've only seen them, like, wrestle twice together. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know, Zoe Stark, we saw her hit that really nice springboard move that production missed, but they played it on the replay. And then we saw Io Shirai lock Gigi Dolin and JC Jane in that submission together, which Mandy Rose put her foot on the rope to break it. Zoe Stark, I thought, was very impressive in this match. And it's, like, completely different from that one spot that we thought was, like, not good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very long time ago. And it's just, like, a complete 180. Not even a complete 180, because it was just that one tiny incident. So.
Yeah, it's true.
After that, we had a Braun Breaker video package. What can I say about this? I think he's so good. He cursed in this promo. I thought it was hilarious. He goes, if you want friends, get a dog. And he wants a match with Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I definitely laughed because I was just like, yeah, this is definitely a Scott Steiner-ish promo.
Yeah. And later on, Ciampa FaceTimed into the show to respond to Braun Breaker. And he said that when the match happens, Breaker's going to drown in an ocean of experience, which I liked that line. And nobody's going to take the NXT championship from him. It took him way too long to get it back. So he's not going to let Breaker take it. But I think Braun Breaker could potentially be the next champion.
I don't think so. Not this quickly.
I don't know. I'm ready to see him go up to the main roster on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. I'm ready to see him face John Cena, Roman Reigns, Big E, Brock Lesnar.
I don't know.
You can't be this good that quick and not, like, be used. And not be pushed to the moon.
Yeah. I don't know.
If he's wrestling like his uncle, he's wrestling like his father, and he's cutting promos that are fantastic. Everything matches to WWE superstar.
Let's see. But next up, you had Boa pick up the victory over Andre Chase.
Chase, we saw him get into Mei Ying's face, and she spit some smoke in it, which led to the end of the match. Nothing really big to tout from that.
Yeah.
But throughout the night, we saw the honeymoon of Index. And Johnny and Candace were also there, which I thought was funny. But at one point, Johnny Gargano got into Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell's room, saw a bunch of condoms, and then had to hide the fact that he was there and hid in a closet, heard some things, thought they were cohabitating, but Indy Hartwell was just having a pillow fight, which I thought was funny.
That entire thing, all of it was hilarious.
And then I liked when he sneaks out, or tries to sneak out. Lumis is just staring straight ahead. And Gargano, obviously, he got caught. I thought it was going to be one of those things where Lumis sleeps with his eyes open or something. But Lumis gave him the old thumbs up. I thought that was such a funny segment.
That segment was hilarious. There was everything that they did in that segment was perfect. I love the fact where they were just like, oh, there's a bedroom in there. And they're just like, yeah, you know what could happen on a bedroom.
And they look down at Candace. That's so funny.
Like, yeah, Candace like rubs her belly and they're like, oh no. Like, I think that segment alone, like everything that they're doing is so enjoyable.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then the face that Johnny Gargano made after the thumbs up from Lumis.
Yeah. The entire thing.
It was like the same, basically the same thumbs up as Becky Lynch did at the pay-per-view. But after that, we saw Roderick Strong successfully retain the Cruiserweight Championship against Grayson Waller. Great showing by Waller in this.
I agree with you. I was very impressed.
He was with...
Now, who was he?
Grayson Waller was from Australia, or is from Australia, I believe.
Ah.
Yeah, he's from Australia.
The land down under.
Yeah. But I'm almost certain you would have seen him wrestle at least one match.
No, dude, none of these people in NXT, I have no clue who they are. Unless they did name changes and stuff, and I don't recognize them.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I guess you wouldn't have seen him. He was just doing 205 Live.
Yeah, there's so many people that are on the card right now that I do not know.
Well,
at all.
Yeah, so it was a good match. After that, we saw LA Knight cut a promo. Basically, he was asked about Odyssey Jones. Good promo by LA Knight, but Odyssey Jones cuts him off, and then Andre Chase cursed and said that his match should have been a DQ ending. And then LA Knight and Odyssey Jones brawled, so they have a match coming up next week, I believe. There was a video package for Dante Chen, which definitely is helpful when you introduce as many people as you introduced.
Yeah.
So that's just a good filler introduction, basically video package there. Much like the Ikemen Jiro one with where he showed off his closet. After that, backstage, Trey Baxter and Cora Jade were talking, and Cora was saying how she's excited for her match next week. And then Trey Baxter was basically just like, well, don't do what I did, which was lose last week. And then, did they kiss this week or was that just last week? I don't remember. But
I don't remember.
Yeah. After that, Lashing Out with Lash Legend. There's some parallels here to us. But she mentioned that she was in the WNBA. So I like that it establishes her, even though it's a completely different name.
Oh, that's who it is. The girl, the woman from
the basketball segment.
Yeah, with the whatever Grimes. Face is.
Cameron Grimes.
Oh, cool. All right.
But the only thing that I can compare this segment to was The Soup meets Wendy Williams.
Oh, no, that's not a good combination at all.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this, but I'm not going to write it off.
Wendy Williams is not good.
No, she's not. But I only compare it to... I say there's parallels between us and Lashing Out because, you know, we're marking out, lashing out. She had a... we have a mark out moment of the week. She had a lash out moment of the week, basically. Similarities. And then plus the $1 million arm segment this week. You never know.
Yeah. Go buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. ProWrestlingTees.com/marketout. Use the code Manscaped. Regardless, at manscaped.com. Get yourself 20% off. Next matchup, Kyle O'Reilly picked up the victory over Ridge Holland. We saw Ridge Holland was coming out for his match with Kyle, of course. And Kyle attacks him. Kyle attacked Pete Dunne. And then the match began. I thought it was a decent match. Afterwards, Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland attacked Kyle O'Reilly. And Von Wagner ran out, made that save. Von Wagner, the son of Bo Beverly.
Which, if you don't know who he is, he's one of the Beverly brothers. And if you can't tell them apart, well, then you're just like everybody else.
Probably.
Yeah.
After that, we had a promo for Tony D'Angelo. This time he was at the docks, just a wrestler. He was at the docks talking about how sometimes merchandise falls off the back of a truck, perhaps, or something like that. But he will be there next week. So I really hope he can wrestle, because these vignettes are one of my favorite things about NXT 2.0.
I have a feeling that NXT 2.0 and me are not going to be friends. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe I have a closed mindset right now. I have a feeling that you're going to be good friends with NXT 2.0. Me, not so much.
Well, open your mind.
Let's see.
Main event saw Raquel Gonzalez pick up the victory over Frankie Monet to retain the NXT Women's Championship. I thought it was a good match. You did not, I guess?
It was all right. I don't know.
I thought at some points we were going to see Frankie Monet win here, but I went into this match thinking that Raquel Gonzalez was going to retain. So, for me, I think Frankie Monet, I would rather see, I'm like torn, because I'd like to see her continue with Jesse Kamea and Robert Stone, but I really want to see her with John Morrison as well.
I don't know. She doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. There, I said it. I don't really know Taya Valkyrie, but I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, you definitely, I think, are, but it's your opinion. Afterwards, Toxic Attraction came out and attacked Frankie Monet, Jesse Kamea, and Robert Stone.
Now, Toxic Attraction, I am a big fan of, though.
They surrounded the ring, and Raquel Gonzalez tried to fight them off, but they got the better of her, and Mandy wants a title shot. She said it earlier in the night, I believe, and that's how NXT ended. Maybe Mandy Rose will be the next NXT champion. I remember thinking that they took her from NXT too soon.
Mandy?
Because I wanted more of her in NXT then. But she fit quite well with Raw and SmackDown when she was being used.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she will be the next NXT Women's Champion. That was NXT 2.0. NXT UK, we saw Mustache Mountain pick up the victory over Oliver Carter and Ashton Smith. Carter and Smith had some fun offense, tag offense in this. Symbiosis came out, and Dave Mastiff and Jack Stars came out also as well to brawl with them. Carter and Smith dove onto the whole group. But Tyler Bate ends up hitting a super fine, awesome German suplex from the middle rope, leading to the end of the match there. After that, Danny Luna picked up the victory over Zaya Brookside, which was basically power versus speed. Decent match. Luna won with a fireman carry powerbomb. I don't know how else to really describe that, but Zaya Brookside seemed like she was kind of ho-hum, but also pissed off and slapped Danny Luna's hand after when she went for a handshake. Then we saw the debut of Charlie Dempsey. Dempsey picked up the victory over Josh Morrell. This, again, for those of you who don't know who Charlie Dempsey is, who have not been listening to this for the past few weeks, he is the son of William Regal. And they have not outright mentioned it, but they did mention that guys like William Regal have inspired him. He's trained with Timothy Thatcher. They mentioned Dave Taylor. But Dempsey, I thought, was very impressive in this. And watching him wrestle immediately made me want to see him against guys like Daniel Bryan, which obviously will not happen now.
Yeah.
Guys like Chad Gable, Cesaro, a huge list. And his submission move finisher was like a reverse bow and arrow, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
From what I've seen, he was very impressive.
I thought it was a very, very good match. So even like Dolph Ziggler would be a cool match against him. So I'm definitely looking forward to more of Charlie Dempsey. Main event saw Joe Coffey pick up the victory over Jordan Devlin. We saw Mark Coffey get involved. Wolfgang helped hold on to Joe so he could, like, escape or push off Devlin. He could take advantage behind the referee's back. It's kind of a heelish thing to do, but as of late, they're kind of, like, I don't want to say DX, but you know, like that immature style?
Yeah.
Like that's,
I could understand that.
Yeah, so they've been kind of acting like that as of late, so that's what they've been doing. Next week, we got a bunch of matches. It's the finals to see who's going to be facing Tyler Bate for the NXT UK Heritage Cup, so I'm looking forward to that. But that is NXT UK. Moving over to SmackDown. The draft started on SmackDown. It's going to continue to Monday Night Raw. However, it will not come into effect until October 22nd, which is the night after Crown Jewel. The episode kicked off with Roman Reigns getting drafted to SmackDown. I think that's the most obvious choice, and I don't hate that. After that, Big E was drafted to Monday Night Raw, which also makes sense. He's the WWE champion. Charlotte got drafted to SmackDown. She's the Raw Women's Champion. I'm really hoping they don't just, like, trade championships like they did with New Day and the Street Profits last time. But Bianca Belair is going to Monday Night Raw. Roman Reigns kicks off the show with Paul Heyman. Spoke about Crown Jewel. Paul Heyman called Roman Reigns the suplexorcist, which I thought was a cool term. Then Brock Lesnar came out, went face-to-face with Roman Reigns, and they brawled. The Usos came out to try to make the save, but they also got. First match saw Happy Corbin pick up the victory over Kevin Owens. Riddick Moss is now going as Madcap Moss. Me and along with the rest of the internet heard Mad Cat Moss, but it's Cap. Mad Cap, one word. Real word. But we saw Riddick Moss get involved behind the referee's back. Corbin hit the End of Days outside the ring, took him back into the ring, hit the End of Days again. Basically just seeing Madcap Moss hyping up King Corbin or Baron Corbin, Happy Corbin. So many names to remember. But he was hyping him up during this match. They also announced the King of the Ring and Queen's Crown will debut next week on SmackDown. This season premiere, it'll continue to Monday Night Raw. I believe it'll end in Saudi Arabia. I think that's been a thing that's been rumored for quite some time now. After that, we got Drew McIntyre drafted to SmackDown. RK-Bro staying on SmackDown, the tag team champions. New Day going to SmackDown. So for a split second, we had Big E and Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston on the same brand again, but Big E is split from them, which I don't mind. We still get the rest of this month for New Day together, but overall, I don't mind them not all being together. We got Edge drafted to Monday Night Raw, who then came out to address Seth Rollins. Prior to addressing Seth Rollins, he mentioned how he's the only superstar that was in the original draft on SmackDown on that brand, and he's felt like SmackDown was his home, but he's excited for Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins turned out to not be at SmackDown. He turned out to be at Edge's house in North Carolina. The door just happened to be unlocked for some reason. He goes in, grabs some orange juice, an apple, takes a little tour of the house, and then backstage, Edge told Beth Phoenix, he called her just to go to her brother's house, and I don't know why his door would be unlocked, but I thought it was a very interesting break-in. Normally, it's somebody, like, actually breaking in, and then, like, the person would be home, but I'm happy with that segment. Also, I think Beth Phoenix could definitely handle herself against Seth Rollins. After that, Liv Morgan versus Carmella didn't happen. Liv punched Carmella beforehand. Then Carmella went outside of the ring, put on a mask, a bedazzled mask that looked very goofy, but they just brawled. The match didn't actually take place. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss were drafted to SmackDown. Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., the champions, stay on Monday Night Raw. Hit Row coming up from NXT to SmackDown. So my hopes of a War Games with them and Legado del Fantasma are very much so slim to none now, which is unfortunate. I was hoping to have a an intergender War Games match. I thought that would have been a cool thing to do. But I'm sure we're going to get some sort of blow-off match between the eight of them before the draft comes into effect. And then Keith Bearcat Lee got drafted to Monday Night Raw, so he's staying on Monday Nights. After that, we saw New Day and the Street Profits team up to pick up the victory over the Dirty Dogs and the Alpha Academy. It was really nice to see Chad Gable wrestle here. I thought it was a decent match. The ending, not the best, but I liked the stuff with Montez Ford and Chad Gable. And then Montez Ford and Dolph Ziggler. I thought that was a highlight of SmackDown for me. After that, more draft picks. We see Naomi officially drafted to SmackDown. Rey Mysterio and Dominic are moving over to Monday Night Raw. And Jeff Hardy returns to SmackDown. Returning to Monday Night Raw, Austin Theory. We last saw him, obviously he was in NXT with The Way, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, and Andy Hartwell. But he is moving to Monday Night Raw. We saw him last on Monday Night Raw in June 2020. After that, Brock Lesnar announced that he is a free agent thanks to Paul Heyman. So he gets to do whatever he wants to do. Cuts to Roman Reigns' locker room. Roman Reigns is questioning Paul Heyman. He wants the Usos on SmackDown. He wants Paul Heyman to go to Monday Night Raw on Monday to make sure that that happens. And he said to the Usos that if they're not drafted to SmackDown, he wants them to leave Paul Heyman for dead. After that, the main event, we saw Sasha Banks pick up the victory over Bianca Belair. Hell of a match. I liked earlier on in the match, a really nice clothesline spot between the two. The way Sasha sold it, I thought looked really good. I liked later on in the match, the kiss of death tease on the apron. I thought that would have been a really cool move. But Becky Lynch was on commentary and she gets up. They have a little spat between her and Bianca Belair. Belair goes to get back in the ring and Becky holds her ponytail, preventing her from moving, allowing Sasha Banks to take advantage of that, get that victory. But as soon as the match was over, Charlotte Flair came out, attacked Sasha Banks, attacked Bianca Belair, and it ended with Becky Lynch holding up the SmackDown Women's Championship and Charlotte holding up the Raw Women's Championship. They announced for Crown Jewel, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. So maybe, I would assume Becky Lynch is winning this, but maybe we'll see Shayna Baszler win the Queen's Crown tournament and then move on to, the finals, I guess, would maybe be there. I don't know. Maybe she'll take the title from Charlotte. Hopefully, maybe. But that was SmackDown. Going to take a quick little break. You'll hear a word from our sponsor over at Manscaped. And we'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
Support for Markin' Out is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Look, I mean, I've done it. Dave's done it, Brandon's never done it. You're down there, you shaved up, making sure everything looks clean and fresh, and you get a nick. Get a little cutsky there, and it stinks. It's no fun whatsoever. So that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. It's the ball hair trimmer equivalent of Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. because we all know that Brandon's gonna need it. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower, so that way, you don't make a mess all over your bathroom. The one coolest feature is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet shrug technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So that way, I can charge my Lawnmower 3.0, my camera batteries, and my phone all on the same shelf. Huzzah! If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours and get 20% off and free shipping with the code REGARDLESS, that's one for this read, at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code REGARDLESS, that's two for this read, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code REGARDLESS. That's three for this read.
And folks, if you want your boomer sooner to be fruity, delicious, fruity, fruity, delicious, fruity, delicious, well, then use the code REGARDLESS to get 20% off and free shipping.
That's now four for this read.
Don't forget to sauce it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out episode 556. Please remember to go to manscaped.com. Use that code REGARDLESS. Get yourself 20% off and free shipping. You can pick up the Lawnmower 4.0. You can pick up some boxer shorts or a t-shirt. Manscaped.com, REGARDLESS. Get yourself 20% off and free shipping. Gonna move over to AEW right now. They dedicated this week's episode of Dynamite to Brody Lee because they were in his hometown of Rochester, New York. So it was nice to have that reminder of him on television. CM Punk did commentary for the show. It kicked off with Adam Cole picking up the victory over Jungle Boy. I was the most pumped to see this match of the night. I think it would have been a super cool match at TakeOver had the cards been aligned. But I really liked Adam Cole kneeing Jungle Boy in the face when he tried to set up the Tree of Woe. I feel like we don't really see that often. He was still able to set up the Tree of Woe, but Jungle Boy also kicked out of the Panama Sunrise, which was unexpected. He also ducked the last shot, which you don't think would happen. He locked in that snare trap. We saw Aubrey, though, caught up in the ropes. Adam Cole gets the low blow. Jungle Boy without her seeing. And then one with a last shot. I wish Jungle Boy picked up the victory there, but how do you have Adam Cole lose so quickly? Afterwards, the Elite came out, all of them spoke, which to me is a waste of time. Kenny Omega, though, said that Bryan Danielson is not getting another match with him. He came out and pulled the crowd, laid out the challenge. The Elite then was like, well, let's do a match. Or he laid out a match for Rampage, and Kenny's like, let's do it right now. And it led to Jurassic Express and Kazarian and Christian to come out. The Elite ran off, but they set up Nick Jackson versus Bryan Danielson on Rampage this week, which I guess we'll talk about next week. After that, though, we saw Lucha Bros and Andrade backstage, and Andrade was questioning where Pac was, which, by the way, it has been 4 months since Andrade has debuted, and we've only seen him wrestle twice. I had high hopes for him in AEW, but I don't know why we don't get to see him wrestle. I really hope I get to see him wrestle in December, but Andrade wants the AAA Tag Team Championships, or maybe he wants people he knows to have those titles. I'm not sure. I was thinking maybe Roosh, but I believe Roosh is injured. But it's kind of a... This goes back to one of those things where it's like the AAA tag titles only matter when AEW needs to use them in a storyline. Like, they didn't promote Andrade versus Kenny Omega for the AAA Mega Championship. So we'll see where this goes. Maybe we'll get two new people. Maybe we'll get one new person. After that, Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson picked up the victory over Matt Sydal and Dante Martin. The fans continue to hate Cody here. Dante Martin, of course, continues to impress. We saw Lee Johnson pull Cody Rhodes into the corner himself by the tights to tag himself in. Hit that cross-legged fisherman neckbreaker to pick up that victory. Tony Schiavone interviewed them afterwards. Sea of boos. Absolutely getting booed. He called Malachi Black out, and then Arn Anderson told him to stop talking. He yelled at him. He's like, I put guns to people's heads or something like that. I don't know. It was a really out there promo. but yeah, Arn Anderson is strapped, apparently. After that, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Darby Allin picked up the victory over Anthony Green and Bear Country. I was hoping for different results. Obviously, they're not going to put Bear Country and Anthony Green over. That's just not something AEW does. I don't even think that's something WWE would do. But after the match, it made no sense. Sting hit the Scorpion Death Drop on Anthony Green. That, to me, that's a heel move. I don't know what's going on there. We saw a video package with Ruby Soho and Britt Baker together. Ruby Soho is building herself back up because she wants another title shot. Britt Baker, of course, she's putting herself over. She's not going anywhere. After that, we saw Matt Hardy speak about how he was supposed to debut in Rochester last year. But then trashed the town. Great, great heat. Led to the Dark Order and Orange Cassidy picking up the victory over the HFO. 16-man tag match. Negative One was with them. And they start this match with the Dark Order tagging themselves in and arguing. Evil Uno ends up leaving the match. A few members chase after him. Negative One comes out super pissed, throws the papers in his face like his father would have done. Amanda Huber also came out to yell at them. Anna Jay and Ty Conti were pissed. So they go back into the ring. They fight HFO off. At one point, we saw like a powerbomb moonsault combo that Alex Reynolds was part of. I thought that was super cool. But other than that, it was a big cluster match. It was what I would have expected that match to have been. But Dark Order picked up the victory in memory of Brody Lee there. So that was cool. Leo Rush had a promo. He's officially All Elite now. He did some sort of money investing gimmick. Seemed like maybe a bit what Matt Hardy's doing, but more like of a Ponzi scheme. I don't know what was going on there. I thought Leo Rush retired, but I'm happy he's not retired. I'm a big fan of Leo Rush. After that, FTR had a video promo backstage just saying that they're refocused after losing to Sting and Darby Allin. So hopefully that builds them up to a title shot soon. Maybe a second reign. We saw American Top Team in the ring where Dan Lambert spoke about what happened to Chris Jericho on Rampage last week. Scorpio Sky said that he's been ignored, but Dan Lambert saw his potential. Ethan Page cut a good fired up promo. I don't know where this is going to lead to. Maybe a pinnacle match. I don't know. Or Inner Circle, I mean, not the pinnacle. After that, Hikaru Shida showed up finally in a video package promo, saying that she wants her 50th win, and Serena Deeb was also part of it, challenging her. So that match, Hikaru Shida makes her return after 4 months of not being on television. She was the champion. She is the longest reigning AEW champion there is. And as soon as she lost that title, we have not seen her since May. That's, to me, absurd. But thank God she's going to be on Dynamite next week. I hope to see her at the UBS Arena when I'm there. After that, Ty Conti and Anna Jay picked up the victory over Penelope Ford and the Bunny. Anna Jay basically just choking Penelope Ford out to pick up that victory. Negative One came out, celebrated that victory. I thought that was a cool moment as well. And we saw MJF come out, cut a big promo, talk about the pillars of AEW. Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, who he both of them he beat. Darby Allin kind of skips over that a little bit, didn't beat him. And then himself, they're the four pillars of AEW, and he deserves to be champion. He brought up how Tony Khan is one of his two favorite Khans in wrestling, obviously referring to Nick Khan. And then he said he's got a friend that if he doesn't get his title shot, he has a friend back from his old MLW days, got a speed dial, I believe he said, something like that. Brings up Bruce Pritchard. Obviously, people, if you're in the know, Bruce Pritchard works for WWE right now. So, yeah, that was mentioned. Darby Allin came out, cut him off, and basically just told him to leave and said that if he does leave, nobody would even care. MJF brought up how Darby Allin was in a car accident as a kid with his uncle, who was drunk, if I'm not mistaken, or he was hit by a drunk driver, and his uncle died. I don't know if that's a real story. I don't know why you'd make that up if it wasn't. And then MJF said that the wrong man died, a la Dewey Cox. Walk hard. MJF also said that Darby Allin looked like a school shooter. And I don't really think stuff like that should be said on TV. But after that, we had the main event. Sammy Guevara picked up the victory over Miro to become the new TNT champion. I think there were some iffy spots in this match, but Sammy is so good. Miro is really good. We saw Miro rip the top turnbuckle pads off of a bunch of the posts. Fuego del Sol ran up to try to stop him, but he got knocked off. And then that eventually basically led to the end of the match because Miro hit his head on one of the posts. Sammy Guevara hits that 630 to pick up that victory. I don't mind Sammy being champion, but I don't like that Miro's reign wasn't longer. And he always seemed to be facing people who didn't really have a shot and didn't earn a title match. But after Dynamite ends, Bobby Fish via Twitter challenges Sammy Guevara to a match. And during the commercial break of Roads to the Top, Sammy Guevara accepted that match. So that's really cool that Bobby Fish will be wrestling on AEW Dynamite next week. Still really baffled that he was released from NXT. Literally makes no sense. Undisputed Era was like the hottest group in NXT, maybe in NXT history. So it sucked that Bobby Fish was released, especially because he could have been one of those Kyle O'Reilly types where if you're bringing up new people, why would you not want to have Bobby Fish help, like, train the future? But that match, so that's, I'm pumped for that match next week. We also have a casino ladder match where the winner gets an AEW championship match. The casino championship match is where there's, I believe there's 8 competitors and then a 9th surprise entrant. During the match, I think it's got to be Hangman, right? Maybe. I know people were saying, oh, 100% Bray Wyatt is showing up in Rochester. Maybe it'll be Bray Wyatt. I just think it'll be Hangman, and that'll eventually lead to that Hangman versus Kenny Omega match that people did not get and they've been waiting for. But that is AEW. Hey, Brandon. Got any shout-outs?
Hey there, pal. It's me, Mickey Mouse, and you're listening to Brandon's Shoutouts.
Nine Perfect Strangers gets the first shout-out. The whole first season is on Hulu right now. I think they're doing a second season. I'm not sure. But basically, nine strangers go to a 10-day retreat and some hijinks occur. Kind of like it's a drama mystery show. Super stacked cast. Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, Michael Shannon, Regina Hall, Bobby Cannavale. You heard about the show at all or no?
What was the show again?
Nine Perfect Strangers.
I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it.
When I first heard about it, I saw the trailer. I thought it was for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be for a television show. I thought it was really good. So definitely check that out if you have Hulu. Next shout out goes to The Miz. Because not only is he currently on Dancing with the Stars, he was a contestant on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune on Sunday and played for Connor's Cure. And he took home $50,000, $50,750. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was weird to hear him being referred to as Michael.
Michael.
Instead of The Miz or yeah, just instead of The Miz. I don't know. It was weird. But it was cool to see him on that. He was with Jason Alexander and Cheryl something from Dancing with the Stars as well.
Crow?
Yeah. But it was funny when Jason Alexander got introduced. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Sajak was like, and from the WWE, Jason Alexander. That's like a joke. I thought that was funny. But the last shout out goes to Walt Disney World. Because it is the 50th anniversary. As of you hearing this right now, it first opened October 1st, 1971.
Wow.
The 50th anniversary celebration has officially begun. The Contemporary and Polynesian Resorts also celebrate 50 years. Epcot on the 1st celebrated the 39th anniversary, same day. But it's crazy because, like, opening day tickets, if I'm not mistaken, for Magic Kingdom were, like, $3.50.
That's wild. I would love to get my, like, hands on some, like, antiques like that.
Yeah. And, like, I think with inflation, it would equal about, like, $24. So even that is, like, crazy.
Wow.
But I'm not sure if I'll be going to Disney World anytime soon. But I definitely miss just, like, walking in to the park and seeing Main Street. I miss riding Haunted Mansion. That was a day one ride. I miss Pirates of the Caribbean, the Carousel Progress, and just all the friendly cast members. And they have a whole bunch. They have like over 150 new items, food items throughout the four different parks. There's like new fireworks shows that at Magic Kingdom, it's taking up the whole Main Street, so there's projections on the Main Street itself, which is brand new. There's like a kite show showing up to Animal Kingdom.
I mean, I remember when I first went there when I was a little kid, and you were actually there
1971 October 1st, right?
I wish. It was actually the second day.
Yeah.
It wasn't opening day, so I can't really say that it was their opening day, but it was the second day. But yeah, I remember everything with it. I remember the Peter Pan. Okay, I don't remember everything. I lied. But I remember the Peter Pan ride. I remember the It's a Small World. I remember Epcot. Epcot's always good.
Yeah. I was about to say, for a second, I was like, wait a minute, you could have gone to Epcot, you weren't there, it wasn't there in 1971, but you're not really that old. But
wow. Yeah, spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Disney World's awesome. I'm like, I would like, it sucks that COVID happened, it really does. Obviously, like, it sucks way worse for other people, but after, like, not going for around 8 years and then going from 2017 to 2019 a few times. Mm-hmm. It's just, I miss it. I miss everything. And there's like so many new things to see. They added like 50th anniversary statues all over the place.
I'll go with you.
The castle is a new color.
You want to go?
I mean, eventually I'd like to.
I'll go with you.
What are you doing in November?
like next year?
No, like 2021. In like next month.
Oh, no. That's Florida's offhand.
What do you mean?
No.
You just wear a mask. At this point, I don't know. I don't want to get COVID again, but.
Yeah, you already had your fun with it.
I mean, I am 100% going to Florida, so.
Yeah.
Whether or not I go to Disney World, I don't know. But there's treats I want to try, and I don't know. I miss it. So, happy 50th anniversary to Disney World. But those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. For me, from the pay-per-view, it has to be Finn Balor, that resurrection gimmick.
That resurrection gimmick was really cool.
But then again, from Monday Night Raw, that $1 million arm was like, I was the happiest I have ever been watching Monday Night Raw at that point, that particular point.
I bet this is the big thing that you, like, you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. Like, you've been waiting for this moment of them making reference to this.
Yeah. And also, it's not really a Mark Out Moment of the Week, but I was flipping through the channels the other day and The Longest Yard was on, so I had to watch what was left of it. Which, for those of you who don't know what The Longest Yard is, it's a remade film from Adam Sandler. Chris Rock is in it.
I don't think you have to explain it. Everybody better know.
Well, hopefully. Burt Reynolds was, he's the star of the original one, but he's also in it. But aside from them, it's a super stacked cast. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, Great Khali before he was Great Khali.
Yeah.
Bob Sapp.
Nuts. Yeah, Warren Sapp, right?
No, Bob Sapp.
Bob Sapp.
Bob Sapp, Terry Crews, Nick Turturro, who was a ring announcer at WrestleMania. One of them? Nine? No, not nine. Maybe 10? WrestleMania 10? 11? I don't know.
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan's in it, yeah. But I like that movie a lot. So, and how many, you ever catch yourself chanting Mean Machine or no? Just me?
It depends on the day, sometimes.
So, like, it's not an everyday thing. It's not an every month thing. It's maybe like once every like 8 months I catch myself Mean Machine, Mean Machine. But do you have any markout moments?
A markout moment of the week for me, personally, would probably have to go to, let's see here, probably everything that took place with AEW this week. The AEW Dynamite took place in Rochester, and everything with that, with the relation to Brody Lee, then paying tribute to him.
Yeah.
That I marked out for all of that. I thought that was so great.
The paper spot, I mentioned it earlier when he came out, -1 came out through the papers. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having his wife involved too.
I know it's most likely not going to happen, but I really wish there was a way to like have 2K work out a deal with the Hubers to have Luke Harper in 2K22.
I hope so.
I really feel like that's not going to happen, but I really hope that happens.
Nah.
I don't know how that works because obviously Brody Lee would be in AEW's video game, so I don't know if there would be like a licensing thing.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Or something like that.
Nah, I can't see that at all. But
I just, you know, I got my fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, but
another markout moment, I have to say. I have been submitting hashtags to the Tonight Show since they started the Tonight Show. They've been doing like hashtags every week since 2014. And I've literally never been chosen, but this week I was finally chosen.
Mazel tov.
And Black Thought sang my tweet live on the Tonight Show or live to tape, pal. But I don't know. It was the hashtag was make a song about fall. And I went to, I typed in the most popular songs of 2021, which was Justin Bieber's Peaches, one of them. And I just changed some lyrics, made some fall inspired lyrics about it. And I marked the hell out because I thought it was, a really good song that deserved to be featured. And there wasn't any like traction on that tweet. So I was happy that it was featured. Definitely marked the hell out for that.
Yeah. That was an incredible, incredible moment. You know, that's really cool.
Yeah. And that is episode 556 of Marking Out. Remember, check us out on Twitter at Marking Out, Instagram at Marking Out 11, Facebook.com/Marking Out, YouTube.com/Marking Out 11. That's Instagram as well. BTTG161, David PTDPT on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Sweendog. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out. Use the code regardless for 20% off and free shipping over at manscaped.com. Check us out on Spotify Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, and more. MarkingOut.com. It was International Podcast Day this week. So thank you for allowing us to be a podcast. We wish you the
best of luck in your future endeavors.